Will you turn to Genesis 25, please? Genesis 25. Jacob gets the blessing, part one. We're going through the Genesis stories of Abraham and Sarah and their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Four generations. And in Genesis, these stories are organized around God's blessing on Abraham. In the beginning of Genesis 12, God came to Abraham and he called him to move away and he promised to bless him. God promised to bless Abraham and his descendants after him and eventually to bless all the nations through him. And basically, that's what ties these family stories together, that blessing. These are family stories because God's blessing was passed on in real families, which is still true. So these families did some things right, and they did other things wrong, like all families. And right in the middle of it is God keeping his promise to bless this family line. These are Genesis stories. It's the first book of the Bible, and that means that Scripture is organized to make these stories the foundation of how God works with people. And so these stories teach us the basics of God and people and how his blessing works. So we're going to do two sermons on how Jacob gets the blessing, how the blessing gets passed on from Abraham's son Isaac to his grandson Jacob. It's a long and interesting story. And today is part one, the next sermon is part two. So today we're going to cover the end of Genesis 25 and all of Genesis 27, which is quite a bit, and we're going to move right along. Rebekah's twins. We're starting in Genesis 25, verse 21. Rebekah could not have children for 20 years. Isaac prayed for her, probably many times, and after 20 years, the Lord answered his prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant. And then it says the babies jostled each other. They struggled together. So there were two of them, and right from the womb, they did not get along. Rebekah said, "If it's like this, why do I live? I waited 20 years to be pregnant, and now it's like there's war inside of me." So she asked the Lord what was going on, and the Lord told her, "There are two nations in you. They will not get along. One will be stronger, and the older will serve the younger." Esau was born first, Jacob came out second, but Jacob's little hand was grabbing Esau's ankle as Jacob came out. He was not letting Esau get away from him. To grasp the heel was the Hebrew image for deceiving somebody. So Jacob means to grasp the heel. What Rebekah and Isaac knew before those boys were even born was that those two were not going to get along, ever. Esau sells his birthright. Now they're adults. Genesis 25:27. Esau was a hunter, and Jacob was not. And it says that Isaac, who was fond of wild meat, loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. This is a problem. No parent should have a clear preference for one child over another. In this family, both parents do. The boys don't get along, and they seem to have divided the parents, too. And furthermore, preferring one over the other seems to start with Isaac, and it sounds like Isaac loves Esau because Isaac really enjoys the kind of food that Esau the hunter can bring him. That is a dismal reason to love one son over another. And Genesis wants us to think that, wow, that's pretty low. It doesn't actually say that's why, but the line, why Isaac prefers Esau, but it says Isaac, who loved wild game, and it's just told us that Esau was a hunter. So it sounds like that's the reason for it. Esau came in from hunting one day and saw Jacob cooking something. They're young men at this stage. "Quick, give me some of that stew. I'm starving," Esau said. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I won't live without food. Who cares about the birthright?" And Jacob said, "I want to hear a solemn promise from you that the birthright is mine." So Esau made a solemn promise, and he sat down to bread and lentil stew. We're supposed to be a little surprised when we get there. That's not actually a very special meal. That's Sure, lunch. We're supposed to think he sold his birthright for that? He says he's dying, but that is clearly not true. And he ate, and he drank, and then he walked away. And the last line of the story is, So Esau despised his birthright. You know, it's one thing to make a dumb choice when you're really hungry. I am certainly capable of that. But even after he had eaten, he had no regrets. He just got up and walked away. We're not sure what birthright means exactly, but it will be close to inheritance of the oldest son. Esau walked away from his heritage. A birthright is different than blessing. Birthright is the property and rights of the oldest son, and blessing was powerful words about the future. Jacob doesn't look good in this story either. He's making himself a simple meal. His brother comes in very hungry and asks for food. And instead of just sharing his food, Jacob goes for the throat. Jacob profited as much as he could from his brother's sharp hunger. It's a nasty business on both sides. Neither Jacob nor Esau come out of this looking very good. But the story deliberately ends with Esau. He despised his inheritance, what God had given his grandfather and father. And that's not good. And now we're going to jump over chapter 26, which confirms that Isaac has been blessed. And we're going to start right at the end of chapter 26, verse 34, with Esau's troublesome wives. Wives, who the boys marry becomes important, so it's introduced here. When Esau was 40 years old, he married two Hittite women. Isaac also got married when he was 40. But when Isaac was 40, his father Abraham insisted that Isaac not marry a Canaanite woman. Not a chance, says Abraham. Isaac must not marry one of these Canaanites, and he sent his servant back to the old country. So the question is, why did Isaac not do the same thing for Esau? Isaac seems to have dropped the ball here, and he paid the price. He should have coached Esau a little bit on who to marry. Whatever was wrong with the Canaanite women, it was real. How they lived and acted brought regular grief to Isaac and Rebekah both. And the details are left to our imagination. Isaac plans to bless Esau. Now we're in chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and could barely see, he called in Esau. Esau, I'm old and I don't know when I will die. Take your bow and hunt some wild game for me and bring me one of those meals I love so I can give you my blessing before I die. This is a little peculiar. And normally, when a person would be dying, the family would gather around and that would be the time for last words to the children. At the end of Genesis, when old Jacob was dying, he had all 12 of his sons there, and he spoke to each one of them individually, and he blessed them. That would be normal. What's peculiar here is that Isaac is not dying. He says he doesn't know when he'll die, which is true, but Jacob fled after this and was gone 20 years, and Isaac was alive when he came back, so he's going to live at least 20 more years. And if Isaac really wants to get ready to die, why did he not call Jacob also and Rebekah and give his final words to everyone? Does he just want to cut Jacob out of his father's blessing? Does he just want a good meal? We don't know. But something irregular is going on, that he does this when his death is actually quite a ways away and that he only calls one son. Anyway, Esau gets his bow and arrows and he heads out. Rebekah commands Jacob, chapter 27, verse 5. Rebekah heard what Isaac told Esau, and she said to herself, "That is not going to happen. I will not let Isaac ignore Jacob like that." So Rebekah called in her son Jacob, and she repeated to him what she just heard his father Isaac say to his brother Esau. And then she gets serious. "Obey my voice as I command you," she begins. The NIV does not use the English word command there, which is too bad because it's in there in Hebrew. "Obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock. Bring two choice young goats, and I will prepare just the kind of food your father likes to eat. And then you take it to him so he blesses you before he dies." Well, Isaac has unjustly preferred the son he loves, and so Rebecca will unjustly prefer the son she loves. So she's arranging to deceive her husband and take what he's giving to her other son. If Isaac had called in both sons to bless them, I think she'd have been fine. But she will not let it happen like this. So Jacob now faces a difficult choice. You see, he should obey his mother's command, right? There's no doubt about that. But to lie to his father and to steal from his brother. So he's got some good reasons to hesitate about this choice. And Jacob did hesitate, but not for moral reasons. He hesitated because he was afraid to get caught. What if I get caught? Then my father will curse me and I'll be worse off than if I did nothing. That's his hesitation. What if I get caught? Rebecca says, "Let the curse fall on me." And she means it. If Isaac had cursed Jacob, it would have fallen on her. Now that's how we're to take the story. So Jacob goes to get the young goats, and she prepares the meal, and she puts goatskin on Jacob's hands and neck, so he will feel as hairy as Esau if Isaac touches him. That Esau must have been a pretty bushy character if his hands and neck felt just like goatskin. And Rebecca dressed Jacob in the best clothes of Esau, which she has in her possession. Why does Rebecca have these clothes of Esau with her? They still smell like him. She's not had them long. What has she been planning? Scripture doesn't tell us that, but it tells us enough to know that Rebecca has certainly been up to something if she has a set of Esau's good clothes with her. So Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob takes the food to his father, and he says he's come for his blessing. But he spoke too much. See, Jacob is now hairy like his brother because of the goatskins, and he smells like his brother. But although Isaac can't see, he can hear, and the voice sure sounds like Jacob. Jacob feels like Esau. He's hairy, but he sounds like Jacob. And Isaac takes some convincing here. Jacob has to lie repeatedly. "Yes, I'm Esau." So his father Isaac ate the food. Then he asked his son to come close to him, so Jacob came and kissed him, and then Isaac could smell Esau on the clothes, and he loves the smell. And this is how he blessed Jacob. "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." At first this seems like a normal blessing, but there are a couple of peculiar things about it. One is, this falls short of the blessing to Abraham, which Isaac is supposed to be passing on. Isaac never says to Esau, he thinks it's Esau, "May Yahweh bless you." You see, Esau does not love and fear the God of Abraham and Isaac. And so Isaac cannot give him that blessing. Now, it never says that in so many words, but there was just, after a while, a very conspicuous silence about Esau and the Lord God. There's just no contact there. He does not want God. Isaac says, "You smell like a field that Yahweh has blessed," and that is as close as he gets. "May God give you the dew and earth's richness and good crops." That's good, but God gives those things to every human. See, in the next chapter, Genesis 28, Isaac blesses Jacob when he knows it's Jacob. And there he says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful. May he give you this land. May God give you and your offspring the blessing of Abraham." That is what Isaac says when he knows he's talking to Jacob. But he can't say those things to Esau because Esau does not love and fear the God of Abraham. And Esau will get good things from God, But Esau has taken himself out of Abraham's blessing. He can only receive the best of the things that God gives to all people. That's the first thing to note about this blessing, that the blessing of Abraham is not mentioned in here and really in any way. And the other is this line, be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. Isaac says this, he has twin boys, just two sons. Why would he say that to one of them? Be Lord over your brothers. His blessing separates his sons. He is guaranteeing as far as possible from a healthy brotherly relationship. Perhaps Isaac remembers that 40 years ago, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. And maybe Isaac wants his blessing to pull the other way. We don't know. But we do know that in Genesis, brothers have had trouble getting along with each other right from the start, since Cain killed Abel. And now, in this family, both Isaac and Rebekah, both the parents, are part of the problem of the brothers not getting along. So Jacob left, and he had just gone. Jacob left Isaac, his father Isaac, and he had just gone when Esau returned from his hunting. He prepared the special food, and he took it to his father Isaac, and he said, my father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you can give me your blessing. And Isaac said, who are you? And Esau said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. And Isaac trembled violently. Who brought food to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. And Esau burst out with a loud and bitter cry, bless me too, my father. And Isaac says, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. And Esau said, he is rightly named Jacob, a deceiver. He has taken advantage of me twice. And first he took my birthright, and now he took my blessing. Well, Esau sold his birthright with full knowledge, and at the time, at least, he didn't care about that. But he's right that Jacob has taken advantage of him twice. Esau said, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? And Isaac said, I made him lord over you, and made his relatives his servants, and I gave him the goodness of the land. What is left? Esau said, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. And Esau wept aloud. Isaac said, you will not have the richness of the earth. You will live by your sword and serve your brother. But when you've had enough, you will throw his yoke from your neck. Esau held a grudge against Jacob and said to himself, when my father dies, I will kill Jacob. The thing is, my brothers and sisters, Isaac does have more blessing to give. In the next chapter of Genesis, like I said, which we'll cover next week, when Isaac knows he's talking to Jacob and not to Esau, he says, may God Almighty bless you, Jacob, and make you fruitful. May he give you the blessing he gave to Abraham, so that all this land is yours. Isaac has still all that to give, but Esau does not want God Almighty. So Isaac cannot give it to him. There must be some real sorrow in Isaac here, that Esau, the son he loves and wants to bless, does not want God. And so Isaac cannot give the son he loves what he would love to give. For all of that, the scripture has real sympathy for Esau. He is the only innocent person in this episode. Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob all behave poorly. They are the ones who fear God, and between them, they rob Esau of something he treasured, his father's, Isaac's blessing. And so the scripture grieves for Esau and his loss and how he was treated by his own family. It broke his heart to lose his father's blessing, especially this way. And the scripture does not hide any of that from us. Esau's plans and Rebekah's plans, chapter 27, verse 41. When Rebekah heard that Esau was planning to kill Jacob, she called him in. Esau is planning to kill you, and now, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay there until Esau cools off. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Now there's a line. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Rebekah knows that by telling Jacob to steal Esau's blessing and helping him do this, she has lost Esau forever. That relationship was probably rough already, but now for sure it's over. For her, Esau might as well be dead. And that grieves Rebekah. She has two sons, and she lost Esau for good on that day, which is her own doing, but she still grieves it. Today I lost my son Esau for good. I want to keep at least one of my sons. So she sends him away. But Rebekah knows that Isaac's words to Jacob are important. It's not just her. His father's words, Jacob's father Isaac, his words to Jacob are important. And that's why she helped Jacob get Isaac's blessing. And now she tells Jacob to leave, but she wants Isaac also to tell Jacob to leave. It's not enough that she's going to tell him. Isaac also is supposed to tell Jacob to leave. So she goes to Isaac and she says, Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a Canaanite wife like that, my life will not be worth living. This, Rebekah, is impressive. What she wants is to save Jacob's life from Esau, and she wants Isaac to tell Jacob to leave so that his life will be saved. If she goes to Isaac and says, Esau is ready to kill Jacob, so tell Jacob to go to Haran to be safe, Isaac will probably say, it serves Jacob right. I don't blame Esau. I'm not interfering. If Rebekah says, Esau's wives are making my life miserable, Isaac will probably say, Esau can marry who he wants. So she leaves Esau out of it entirely. We read earlier that Esau's wives were a source of grief to both Isaac and Rebekah. So she goes to Isaac and says just this. These Hittite women are awful. I sure hope Jacob doesn't marry a woman like that. And Isaac says, you've got a good point there. I will send Jacob to Laban right away. And he did. And that's as far as we'll take the story in part one. We'll finish the blessing story next week. I want to talk about Rebekah, and then I want to talk about God. Rebekah sounds deeply disappointed with life. She married Isaac, went out there with a servant, and she waited 20 years to get pregnant, and then a few months of joy knowing she's pregnant, and then as the little guys develop, there is war in her womb. Tumultuous. Endless struggle in there. It's not fun. And she says, if it's like this, why do I live? I waited 20 years for this. And later she says, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob marries a woman like that, my life will not be worth living. Did you catch these phrases? Why do I live? I'm disgusted with living. My life is not worth living. We don't get very much, but she sounds to me like there's some pretty deep disappointment in her about her life. But listen, Rebekah is also the mastermind behind two crucial events. One, make sure Jacob gets his father's blessing. And two, save Jacob's life so he lives to see it. She wants Isaac to send Jacob to Laban and makes it happen. Back when Rebekah was young, when Abraham's servant was at the well, Rebekah showed initiative and energy and courage. She moved out there. She was God's choice for Isaac. And she still has initiative and energy and courage. Not just any woman could have gotten Isaac to bless Jacob on that day and then arrange for Isaac to send Jacob far away. For all her disappointment and pain, she is impressive and she plays a crucial part in what goes on in this story. I want to end with the blessing of God. By far, the most remarkable thing here is the kind of family that God uses. In fact, that God chooses to receive his blessing and carry it on to the next generation so that eventually God can offer this blessing to all the nations. The twin boys are struggling against each other from the womb. Listen, no counseling or parenting books are going to solve this one, folks. This is a chosen family, and those boys don't get along. And I was going to summarize the other faults here, but that would take too long. We covered them all once, and that's enough. God blessed this family. Genesis 26 made clear that the blessing of Abraham had been passed on to Isaac, and by the end of Genesis 28, we will see just as clearly that the blessing of Abraham and Isaac has been passed on in all its fullness to Jacob. God used this questionable family, and in fact used their various misbehaviors, to accomplish his purpose, which was to pass the blessing on to Jacob and keep him alive. Nobody deserves anything here. No one earns anything. God has decided to bless his people. God has resolved to bless his people. God is utterly determined to bless his people. And he will use their obedience, and if he doesn't have that, he can make use of their mistakes. No one in this story has an easy life. They have troubles. Some they brought on themselves, and some they did not. But either way, God is with them. God has taken care of them. God is helping them, and he's making them fruitful. And this is the blessing that has come to all the nations through Christ, and it has come right down to us here. And that is very good news. Does this family not make you feel at home in the blessing of God? It does for me. It makes me feel at home here. This is a place for people like that. That's good. It's a place for me. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we did not actually know it was like this. We did not know how ordinary these people were, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of that. They were more like us than we thought. They're more like us than we tell each other. And God, you blessed them and you took care of them. You told them not to be afraid, and you made them fruitful. And this is the blessing that has come to all the nations right to us here. And, oh God, you decided to bless people. You are determined to bless. You are resolved to bless, to be so good to those who bow to you. And we bow to you now, and we thank you, and we praise you, that through Jesus the Lord, this very blessing has come to us. It has found us, who are no more deserving than they were. And we give you glory and praise, O God. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen our hearts, so we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.